Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. My name is Shelley, and I am your host for this podcast. I'm super glad that you have joined me again this week. I have Lynn Louise Larson of the Cosmic Valkyrie with me. I was on her podcast a few weeks ago, and the link is down below if you want to listen to that. And we had such a great time talking that I invited her to be on my podcast. Before we get to her episode, I want to remind you we have a Facebook group, Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. Link is down in the show notes. Come join us. We are 6,500 women strong. There's just so much in this interview with Louise that I cannot do it justice in my little two-minute introduction here. Lots of aha moments and bite-sized wisdom, and I know that you're really going to enjoy this. But one of the things that I took away from this podcast was a phrase that Louise used. She was talking about how she had seemingly the perfect life on the outside. Six-figure income, nice apartment, could buy what she wanted, but she wasn't happy and she was engaging in some self-destructive behavior. And what she found out was she had climbed a mountain of success, but she had climbed the wrong mountain. So as you listen to my episode with Louise, I want you to ask yourself a question. Are you climbing the right mountain? Okay, friends, on to my conversation with Louise. Hey, Lynn, super glad you joined me this morning here on my podcast. We had quite a fun conversation before we got started, but I'm going that's why we're kind of laughing. But I'm going to let Lynn introduce herself. She's got a really incredible story of transformation and some of the things that she does for women. And also, I was on your podcast, Lynn, and so we'll talk about that a little bit, but I'm going to drop the link of my story on your podcast down below in the show notes. So welcome, Lynn. Tell us your story.
Yes. I was totally telling my group today about your interview. I said, I'm going to be on her podcast, so make sure to follow her and all this stuff. So yeah, I'm Lynn Louise. I call myself the Cosmic Valkyrie, and I help women completely let go of their limiting beliefs that are formed from their past trauma so that they can step into the power of possibility and become that visionary that they really are on a core level and operate from, you know, that power of like our ability to create, not only in life, but in business. So my story resonates a lot with women that have done all the therapy, have done all the work around their past, but they still can't go forward. And they know, even though imposter syndrome and limiting beliefs are invisible, we can feel them. And we're like, how do I get over it? So I really dive into that. I combined ancient healing and wisdom with subconscious alignment. So I go deep. I'm not one of those surface chatters.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because I was just thinking about that this morning, about surface level stuff and how do we dig deeper. I really like what you said, and I hadn't thought about this until you said it. One of the great things I love about interviewing people is I get these aha moments, but imposter syndrome and limiting beliefs are invisible. So we know that they're there, but it's like, to me, it's, when you said that, I thought it's like this little tickle we have in our brain that we don't quite really know what to do with it.
Sometimes it's like a tsunami.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for me, it's like these little annoying, I wish I would get a tsunami sometimes. Maybe I could be like, you know, but before we get into, you know, talking about those kind of things, tell us your story. Cause you started in a place of, and I want to say first, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I know you've done it for a while now, but still, it takes a lot of, you know,
it's part of my jam, man.
Balls to get up and tell your story to people. So I would love for my listeners to learn a little more about your background.
Yeah. You know, my story is so much part of who I am and what I do and why I do it. I call it my dharma, because it's something that I cannot do. And the way that I help people is really sharing my story to begin with. So just like every human being on this earth, I came out and I was like, I came onto earth and I was like, I have these big dreams. Like I wanted to join the Peace Corps and I want to change lives. And I was like all excited about life and helping people. And then at the age of 15, I was sexually assaulted by a close friend, an upperclassman. And while my logical brain was telling me, it wasn't your fault. This isn't, you know, it was him. It wasn't you. You know, you're strong. You're going to get over this. The thing is our subconscious, where our limiting beliefs tell a much different story. So I attached a meaning to it. And one of those belief systems that was attached to it was, you can't trust yourself. You're the one that got in the car in the first place, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right. So then what happened is, unknowingly, I handed over all the big decision-making to professors, counselors, you know, well-meaning caretakers, all that kind of stuff. And I started listening to what others were telling me what was best for me. And the way that turned out and the way that looked is that I went to university, got a corporate American job, climbed the corporate ladder, landed myself in a corner office. You know, I was an executive, had six-figure income, beautiful apartment in San Francisco, season tickets to the symphony, great boyfriend, like everything looked great, right? Like I did it, I got it all. But on the inside, it was much different. Like what was happening behind the scenes was a whole nother story. And how it looked to me was I was compulsive shopping. I was looking for, maybe the right handbag will make me feel pretty. Maybe the right dress. Maybe if I, you know, have the right body or the right boyfriend or the right profession, if I can align with, you know, what I knew inside I wanted to make a difference. But if I can just find the right company, that will bring me joy. And I tell you what, by the time that I'd found the right company that aligned with my beliefs, I had a great boyfriend. I had everything that I looked like I wanted. I was standing in my office one day, and after another one of those, we all know the story, a stressful day where I had emotionally eaten, drank too much the night before, punished myself with overexercising that morning. And I was standing in my office about 3 o'clock the next day, and I felt like my world was collapsing around me. I was like, how the hell did I get here? I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I'm going to maintain this. I was depressed. I was overwhelmed. I felt so alone on this planet. I was confused. And I was just like, oh, F, what the hell am I supposed to do? And I didn't know what I was supposed to do. But what I realized in that moment is I climbed the wrong mountain.
Oh,
I climbed what everyone else had told me. Do this, do that, this, and this is going to bring you joy, right? And I was standing there and I was like, oh my God, I've climbed the wrong mountain. Okay, what are you going to do now, Lynn Louise? Because, you know, we're all like fighters. We're like go-getters. I was like, okay, time to get to work. How am I going to change this? What do I need to do? So the first thing I did is I prioritized me. I'm going to tell everyone that I did not identify that it was my limiting beliefs, that it was geared around towards my past, because I'd done all the therapy. I was totally healed from that. Like it didn't matter, right? Like it can't be that. So I dove into the deep end and I spent 10 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars figuring out what worked, what didn't work, and just really combined it all together, the things that worked, into my Evolution 10X method. And through that whole process is when I really realized the power of limiting beliefs and how they form that imposter syndrome and how they take us in directions in life that keep us trapped right where we are, or unfortunately worse off. So because of them, I was living in that fight or flight cycle. I was over consuming alcohol every night. I was binge eating. I was feeling buyer's remorse. Even though I had multiple six figures, I was living so close to paycheck that one tragedy, one trip to the hospital would have been devastating to me.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, listening to your story, I was just like, oh my gosh, I was so heartbroken for that woman, you know, and I often think that about myself, you know, 15, 20 years ago, just, you know, feeling a lot of compassion for that woman. But thanks for sharing that. First of all, I love climb the wrong mountain. I'm going to say that all the time now.
Do it.
Are you climbing the wrong mountain? Because first of all, I love to climb mountains. I've climbed lots of 14ers. So that is just like a thing. But I love that analogy. And also something that really struck me that if we could talk about for a few moments, and another aha moment was, you know, doing the you've done the therapy, you've done those things. And as you know, and my audience knows, I work with an agency that provides services to victims of violent sexual crime. So we have a lot of people that come in for trauma-focused counseling. And I've done those things to try to heal my past. But I'm sort of stuck in that it's still my past. But is it? Because I've done that work. And at what point do we stop doing that traditional work, for lack of a better word, when I've been doing that traditional work for decades now? So that just, you know, I don't know how I'm going to process that exactly, but I just thought that was an intriguing statement that you made.
Right. So there is a place, definitely a place for traditional therapy. And yeah. I think that even that industry is changing within itself.
Yeah.
What I help women with is learning how to completely let go of that past and understand that the past doesn't exist. It happened. But the only reason that you are so connected to it still is because you continue to identify on a core level as the woman that it happened to, and you have those belief systems, those subconscious belief systems around it that were created from it. That's where the programming needs to like change. We need to reboot the system, right? So we need to delete those old programming belief systems and stories that we have attached around it at a core level. A lot of the times we think that traditional therapy is the end point. But really, I believe that traditional therapy is the beginning to your true expansion, evolution, and healing so that you can dive deeper. It's kind of like you got the foundation, you're stable now. Now it's time to go deep. And a lot of the times, we were taught that no, after therapy, then you're good. You're healed, right? But what I found was I'd do the therapy and then eventually I would always be like, this is it. Like, I'm not happy. Like, am I not supposed to be happy? And I pretty much heard from it, just have to learn how to live with it, air quote, just learn how to live with it. And I was like, there's gotta be more. There's gotta be, you know, there's gotta be happiness in there. And how do I get there? And so it really was diving into that. Okay, how do we transition from knowing that it happened into completely letting go of it and not operating from that anymore? One of the biggest things is stop telling the story, not only to other people, but to yourself.
That, you know, here I asked you to tell your story. And
That's different.
Yeah. And so here's what I'm going to say. I think the story is important in terms of, because that's what my podcast is about, basically transformations. But I remember I wrote there after I came back from Colorado, the story I told on your podcast was, and then after a couple of years, I was just like, I'm fucking sick of my story. I am sick of it. I don't want to tell you anymore. Because it felt like I was trapped in that story. And I equate it to being this person, you know, that did this one thing this one time. Like I won this Emmy as an actress back in the day, and I take it off the shelf and I polish it up occasionally and I love on it. And then I put it back on. But I don't know if I can articulate this to you, but I love what you said, because I just felt stuck in that story and I wanted to get out of that. Even though people are still like amazed at it. And I'm like, you know, I don't know that I am anymore.
There's a difference between sharing your story to help people transform and evolve. But in order for me to be able to share my story, I needed to be healed from that.
Yeah.
I needed to be able to completely let go of it. And there was a time when I could tell people that I was sexually assaulted and not cry or anything like that. Like that, I was like, oh, I'm fine. But what I didn't understand back then that I know now is that I needed to heal the storyteller first to really let go of all that. Our body holds trauma because our brain processes it and holds it in places. And I needed to let go of those belief systems. I needed to be able to tell her that she's safe, that she's okay, that she's lovable. I needed to do that before I ever shared that story with anybody because I still was attached to it. So what I mean by the first thing is to stop telling that story is more like telling it. And I'm not talking about, I'm not being uncompassionate to people that have experienced violent crimes. That's not what I'm doing. But by telling that story, you're just reinforcing all those belief systems within yourself, within your brain, and you're staying within it. So by not talking about it helps you to finally just take those little steps into not attaching yourself to it anymore.
Yeah.
And letting go of the victim mindset around it that we so easily adapt because we live in a victim culture.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, victim mindset is completely different than being a victim of a violent crime. I want everyone to know that. That's completely different.
That's a really important distinction. And because I was in the victim mindset for decades where in terms of everything was everybody's fault and woe is me and I've caused none of my trouble. So that does make perfect sense because I always like, you know, working with victims of crime, I always like to be careful about how we portray something. So you did a really good job of that.
Yeah, no victim blaming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool. Bad stuff. I like what you said about heal the storyteller first. How do we do that? That's an interesting phrase. I love that.
So a lot of the times I'm working with entrepreneurs, right? Because my story resonates with them. They are looking for their higher purpose. They're looking for more substance in their life because like me, like I said, they climbed the wrong mountain. They're like, what do I do now? Like, how do I move into that? That's really part of my Evolution 10X method. So a big part of it is awareness. Awareness around your past, awareness on where you have been operating from. And the second pillar is the subconscious alignment and understanding how the brain functions, why it functions the way it does, and giving you the ability to shift and move out of those limitations. A lot of people we'll talk more about limiting beliefs, but a lot of people believe like, okay, so limiting beliefs, I need to let go of the limiting beliefs that I've created. But they don't understand the fact that your brain, its job is to create those moment by moment. Mm-hmm. So not only do you need to understand the way your brain works so that you can reprogram those, but you need to understand the way your brain works now so that you don't attach those meanings to events now to create them continually in the future.
Yeah.
So that's a very important pillar, right? Without all three of these pillars, the third one is your perception and interpretation of everything, you, yourself, your capabilities, the world around you. So you can have awareness and you can have, you know, interpretation, but without subconscious reprogramming or alignment, you can't have the total package, right? You can have subconscious alignment and you can have awareness, but without your interpretation and your ability to change your perspective, you can't have the total transformation. Like all three of these are vital in order to really step into your knowing and your understanding and capabilities of how you can create the life or business of your dreams, how you can move out of that 9-to-5 and into what you really are here to do. A lot of people, when we talk about higher purpose, they automatically think, okay, so I'm going to do these things. I'm going to, you know, take this method, the Evolution 10X method, and then I'm going to find my higher purpose. Well, in that method, yes, you step into your higher purpose. A paradigm shift for you is to understand that your higher purpose is not what you do. It is not your career, your business, the things that you do. It is who you are on the inside.
I tell a story often. I was listening to a podcast several years ago, and I can't remember what the name of it or the guest, but she talked about the same thing with finding your purpose and passion. She told this story about she imagines all these people over 50 in this room and they're looking up and down, walking around, bumping into each other and saying, oh, excuse me, Lynn, I seem to have lost my purpose. Have you seen it? I just love how she, but I like how you said that. Yeah. Often we think, you know, my purpose is to raise money for victims of crime. No, that's my job. That's, you know, my purpose is, but I sought that, you know, in the not-for-profit world out because that's one of my like core values, you know, those I see as my purpose rather than how that transitions into the work I do. Subconscious alignment. How do we get that? That sounds
well.
That sounds
that's
fancy.
Where you need. It's totally fancy. That's where you need somebody like me, because I have a master's certification in hypnosis, but I've created a specific method in order to help you really rapidly create the transformation, right? So it's the whole combination. I give you a method in how to create that nice state of theta. That's where our subconscious doesn't speak English. So I always say, you know, you can do hypnosis on a client and she can have success, but you teach a woman hypnosis and she can have success for a lifetime, right? Like, get the method and learn how to do it so that you're not, like I said, you need it all. But so it's going into these theta brainwaves and speaking the language of the subconscious, because everything that we have and everything that we don't have in life is a direct result of our habits. Everything that you do in life is a habit, from brushing your teeth to stopping at a stop sign.
It is. And we don't realize that. We just think we make these conscious decisions every day, but we don't. The majority of our decisions are habits. And our brain does that because it makes it easier for the brain to, you know, work through the day. Anyway, I geek out on that. So,
And the thing too is to think about, so these are neural pathways, right? They're habits. Your limiting beliefs are habits. They're neuropathways created by your brain. So, and the thing that people don't understand is that we're always taught, and I know that there's a number of women who can understand this, like, say your mantras, say your affirmations, that's going to change that for you. You're going to get rid of your belief systems by, you know, your limiting beliefs by writing them down. But the fact is that your limiting beliefs and your habits are formed in your subconscious. Mantras, like telling yourself a mantra every day, that's a logical brain activity. You need to be able to speak the language of the subconscious, which is your five senses, in order to transform those limiting beliefs into the power of possibility. As long as you're running on autopilot, as long as you're just letting them talk, they're going to be keeping you right where you are or worse off, because it's doing its job. It's telling you, don't get uncomfortable.
So it's sort of like then this, like, I don't walk around all day telling myself, you shouldn't have done this, or I can't believe when you were 12, you did this, or all that horrible thing you did, or you're so, you should have done this. I don't consciously, now on occasion, I'll do that. Like, a memory will pop into my brain, like, on occasion, but it's very rarely. So that is just like ticking in my subconscious all the time. And we're just not fully aware of what, is that what you're thing.
But at the same time, so let me give you the logical level of the mind, like how
you,
it
please.
Really works.
Yeah.
So, because this is going to help make sense on what I say when I'm saying autopilot. So I'll use it in example to my experience. So I had an experience. I was sexually assaulted. My brain attached a meaning and emotions around that. Those meanings and emotions transferred into my subconscious as physical feelings. So it would be an indicator, boom, there's this emotion, attach a physical feeling. It could be shortness of breath, anxieties, crying, anything like that. Then my unconscious brain attached belief systems and behaviors around it. So automatically what our body, our brain wants to do is, oh my gosh, there's that emotion, trigger the feeling, that's uncomfortable, find a solution.
Yeah.
So every time, our brain's job is to survey our environment all the time for threats. It doesn't want change. It loves predictability and patterns. So what it's doing is that it's validating that first emotion and meaning in other events. It didn't have to be sexual assault. It could have been tripping or falling off my bike, right? I told you, Lynn Louise, it's unsafe out here. So what happens a lot of the time with women, and what I found myself in, is you've heard this term a lot, fight or flight, but it's the cycle of fight or flight. So here's what's happening. You wake up, you're like, fine, greeting the day, whatever, get to work. Somebody, like, you might have a budget reprimand or whatever happens, you get something at work, it triggers you. into that response because you're continually in this fight or flight. So you get triggered and you're like, oh my God, it's so stressful. My day's so stressful. It physical feelings. How am I, you know, what am I going to have for lunch? What am I going to do for lunch? You're already planning that emotional eating. So then you go to lunch and you're like, oh, that made me feel better. I feel good. You get back to the office and maybe, you know, an employee is misbehaving or whatever. And then you're like triggered into that. Oh my God, I'm stressed out again. Physical response, panic, shortness of breath. What's the remedy? Lynn Louise, remember that time that you drank that glass of wine and it made you feel better? Why don't you go do that after work?
Yeah.
So then you go, okay, I'm going to go do that after work, blow off some steam, air quote, right? I'm going to go out with the girls, have some fun, drink too much. Then when you're heading home, you're like, oh, I'm really hungry. I'm still in that, like you felt okay for a while, but then we all know that panic and discomfort comes back. And so it's like, I'm going to stop and get a burrito on the way home. Then you emotionally eat that burrito and then you get home and maybe you have a couple drinks or whatever. And then you pass out, go to sleep. You wake up the next morning and you're like, I filled with so much shame, regret, all that, all those emotions. Let's avoid it again.
Yeah.
Why don't we stop and get a donut on the way to work? Why don't we stop and get that Starbucks on the way to work? So it's this continual cycle that you are living in of fight or flight. It never goes away. You only get distracted by your habits. So in order to heal, one must go deep into that subconscious to really heal and reestablish new neuropathways and new programs to let go of those identities.
Yeah.
And go, oh, I'm safe. Like, it's okay. You're, you know, sugar for me is a thing in the past. I don't have that problem. You know, I need to, and what I really teach women to do, like in the first couple of weeks, is how to, in a healthy and safe way, feel those feelings, let them out of your body. Because what they're doing is they're not like, oh, I'm really sad or I'm really mad. They're releasing these pent up emotions that have been trapped in their gallbladder, liver. Like, ladies, this holding all this in, not only because of the habits, the sugar, the emotional eating, the drinking, that's terrible for your body. But is what is even more toxic is bypassing those emotions. That's where it lands us in emotional or emergency surgery. It creates diabetes from, you know, obesity. It doesn't allow us to lose weight. We just hang on to it for dear life. Our body is like in survival mode going, what the hell am I supposed to do? I don't know what I'm supposed to do, right?
That makes perfect sense. And as you, okay, well, confession time here to Lynn and everyone listening is that I did that yesterday. I'm really in a stressful time of life. I've got 20 more days of just nonstop, constant stress that I need to figure out what to do with. I did that last night. I went to the grocery store to pick up coffee and I just went over to the liquor store part and got a bottle of rosé and I instantly felt better. Now I came home and I drank one glass because I was so stinking tired last night and then went to bed. But as I was like literally thinking when I drove home, I was like, why did I do that? I don't need that. But I had been at the office for almost 10 hours and I was just doing exactly what you said. It's a habit for me. And I had these feelings that I felt that just buying that bottle of wine sort of took them away for a moment.
And here's the thing about neuropathways. They never go away. So these are really strong neuropathways, right? Like they are like freeways.
Yeah.
And when you develop a new neuropathway, it needs to be solid. This is where subconscious alignment really speeds up the process. Because if you do not have that new neuropathway really solidified, then it's really easy to go down that old one. This is why you find people that, like, I had a girlfriend that quit smoking because she had a medical issue. It was something in her sinuses. And she quit smoking for 7 years. During that time, she never stopped identifying as a smoker. She always missed it. She was always like, oh my God, I wish I could smoke. I miss it. You know, it was like my best friend. She would say stuff like that. Even though she had that new neuropathway, the minute, 7 years later, I went to visit her and she's like, I'm going to go outside and smoke a cigarette. And I was like, what? Wait, huh? Yeah, I took up smoking again.
Oh,
one, she's like, one cigarette. Who all has heard this before? One cigarette, and she was back in the game.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah.
Because she never changed her core identity as to a non-smoker. So she still identified as a smoker. So boom, there you are.
James Clear talks about that in his book, Atomic Habits, about people that quit identifying as this and say, I, you know, no thanks, I'm quite trying to quit. You say, no, thank you, I don't smoke.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, and it's all how you identify as it, mm-hmm. as it, right? So even though I was a consumer, and at one point I was a winemaker, at one point I was a huge consumer of alcoholic beverages. Like I was, there were nights where I would have a bottle or two, like
oh, yeah.
straight up.
Yeah.
But I never identified as an alcoholic. So when I quit drinking, when I made the decision not to consume in the rate that I was, now I can enjoy a glass or two, right? Like, yeah, it's fine. I can just move my, you know, I don't identify as one. But I have unpopular views that sometimes trigger people. And I want you to know before I say this, that triggers are okay because they test your belief system and push you beyond into a new state and perspective. So we all know that AA has a very low success rate.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And one of the reasons why is because they never help people drop that identity of that as an alcoholic. They are continually telling themselves, I'm an alcoholic. So on one hand, there's this big bottle of alcohol. And on the other, it's me telling myself, I'm an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic. What do you think is going to win out there?
Yeah.
So when you can reprogram that identity, and I'm not saying that once you reprogram that identity that you can drink, because that's not what I'm saying at all. You take away the challenge or need to, because there's a biological need when you are an alcoholic, you can fall back into that. So, because it's a neural pathway. What I'm saying is it takes that struggle out and your ability to like go, no, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't drink. Therefore, I don't even need to. Therefore, I can move on and I can work from possibilities and I don't have to worry about ever falling back into that behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I think that's a really interesting topic. And I know it may be unpopular, but I agree with you because
it's because we're taught in society that AA is the answer, right? Why do they have such a terrible success rate? It's something like 32% actually make it.
Yeah.
Other people fall back in. And like I said, there's a chemical dependency, but that's a whole nother story.
Well, that's interesting. I just flashed on something that back in my late 20s, early 30s, I joined a group, children of alcoholics, adult children of alcoholics, those groups. And I went to two or three meetings and I told my husband, I said, I'm not going to go back because I felt like they were just complaining a lot about, you know, and I was really trying to get out of that habit of feeling that my parents were responsible for my shitty life. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, these things help some people, but I really identify with what you're saying because I felt like that group had just, you know, sucked me into that thought that all I did was talk about my alcoholic dad. And it just reinforced my beliefs that my dad was responsible for my shitty life.
I love that you bring that up because taking responsibility, we've talked about this on my interview with you, mm-hmm. taking responsibility for where you are now. Like I had a mentor one time that was like, your mama's not here anymore. It's up to you, right? Like it's, you know, your parents aren't here now. It's all up to you. So let go of it. Like I've definitely had those. That's the kind of mentor I am. I trigger a lot. But the thing is that if you're never triggered, like I'm not a cheerleader. I'm like, I'm here for your transformation. So let's get you beyond that belief system so that you can get results. If you are not being challenged, you're staying right where you are. And when our brain goes, wait, she's saying something completely different than what I've been taught. I'm like, yes, you'll get mad. You'll get angry. You'll like want to hide. You'll want to run. You want to stop. That's when you really need to lean into it and listen mm-hmm. to what people are saying to you.
Yeah. And you know, it's okay to be mad and it's okay to be angry and it's okay to be sad. The problem lies, like we spent the last half hour talking about, is what we do with that. you know, my interview with you, when you interviewed me, I talked about how I would get angry and text my ex-husband because I had to like, feel better. So this just is really embarrassing.
We've all done it.
Coping. I know we have. So, hey, we're coming up on our time allotment here. But what, Lynn, what are some, you got any parting words of wisdom? I will.
Always.
Well, yeah, of course. Okay, do you have any more words of wisdom before we go? And everyone listening and watching, I'm going to post all of Lynn's information down in the show notes. So please make sure that you check those out.
Yeah, definitely. So I have that podcast for people. I also have launching on September 14th through the 28th or 27th. I have a free 3-part video training series called Increase Your Income from the Inside. I don't do strategy, y'all. Like, I'm not going to give you funnel systems or anything like that. I'm going to help you let go of those limiting beliefs and imposter syndrome. So I have that coming out next week. And then, just tap into my social media. If anyone has any questions, I want everyone to know that I'm here in your group. So ask, like, reach out to me, friend me. I don't care, because I know the struggle is real. My purpose in this life is really to help women completely step into their power. My ultimate purpose is to create an army of female entrepreneurs making multiple 7 figures, because we are completely capable of that, right? Like, there is no reason for anyone to struggle. And if we are making if we're the upper 1%, we're also operating from compassion. So I'm creating an army that's going to create a typhoon of compassion and beauty in this world. My parting words of wisdom. Let's see. I really would like women to stop thinking about themselves as their habits. They're not your habits. And you didn't come into this world with these habits. They're something you have been taught. Your belief system and who you are was taught to you from a very early age. And most of these belief systems through nationalism, dogma, men have been taught to you with the intention for them to last a lifetime. So now, just by hearing this, you can let go of them. They're not you. They don't belong to you. You can give them back.
I love that. Thank you so much, Lynn. Great way to end our conversation. Thank you.